Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Money Checkup, where we take a deep dive into matters related to money, business, and personal finance. I'm your host, Anjali Jariwala, CPA and Certified Financial Planner. Hi, everyone. My guest today is Scott Frank. Scott is a CFA and a Certified Financial Planner. His financial planning firm, Stone Steps Financial, is based out of San Diego, and his practice focuses on financial life planning. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Anjali.
So before we get into the topic of financial life planning, why don't you tell our listeners more about you and your background?
Sure. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Indianapolis. Had pretty much an awesome upbringing there, the quintessential Midwestern upbringing, where you work hard and play hard. And then I knew I always wanted to not stay in the Midwest. So I went to University of Colorado, where I met my wife. And that was an amazing place to be. From there, we went to San Francisco, where I got my first job in finance, working for Fisher Investments. And then from there, we went down to San Diego. Been here ever since. Worked at a small firm for a while, and then started my own firm 4 years ago with the focus on financial life planning.
That's great. And for our listeners, Scott and I, we actually started our firms at the same time. So we go way back, I would say, in terms of the entrepreneurial business world. So I'm excited to have Scott on because financial life planning is relatively new, I would say, in our industry. So why don't you kind of talk through what exactly financial life planning means?
Yeah. So to get there, I'm just going to explain what, you know, normal financial planning, if people are familiar with it, is most people walk into our office and they think like, I have this pile of money, or I have these money issues, help me solve them. And I think, you know, my thought was when I was younger was, okay, great. I have all of the solutions. I'll solve them for you right away. Tell me your problem, give you your solution, and you can go about your way. And that's how I even started Stone Steps, was doing that. And what I realized was, everything that Anjali, you and I, we have special training here. So we do have more knowledge than the average person. If they really wanted to take the time to learn how to do something, Google has the information as far as what, you know, knowing what you need to do. The issue is always actually doing it and following through. And what I found was when we would give, you know, give people their plan. Here are the things you guys need to go do. Here are the things I can help you with. I'll help you with the things I can help you with. You still have to go do the other things. And they wouldn't follow through. It bugged me. Why won't they follow through? I used to think that if someone wouldn't follow through, that they were just a bad client. What I realized was I was probably not being the best advisor. I didn't help them connect what they were trying to do with their money to their life. And that's really what financial life planning does at its core.
That's great. And, you know, what's kind of interesting is I think you and I come from a little bit more of the traditional financial planning background, where we both worked at firms where the focus was more on the investment. So we got to see that side of the coin, right, where we usually work with more a higher net worth clients where they have a lot of investable assets and the focus is kind of on portfolio management and making sure that they have enough money in retirement. But what's interesting about, you know, the clients you and I serve is that we're serving people that are in our age group, right? So, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, and the focus is not necessarily on investments, even though that's a piece of it, but really helping to piece together kind of all of those components that are going on in someone's life, which, you know, people in our age group, there's just so many moving pieces to put together. So how does, you know, life planning kind of bridge that gap or help people feel more accountable and feel more willing to kind of take those next action steps to kind of achieve their life's goals?
The way that I think of it with clients is we have deep technical expertise, you and I. So our job is to, the way I think of it is, it's like you're, Anjali, it's like you're an amazing musician and you know all the scales and you could do anything right now, but you're not going to figure out what piece you want to play until you understand who's in front of you and what they're going to get the most out of, right? So for us, the way that it works is I think of it as each of our clients has time, money, energy, and talent that they can invest in their lives. And it's really helping them figure out how is their time, money, energy, and talent put to best use so that they can live the best life that they want to live. And most of us come in to go about our day. You know, if we ever think about our money in our life, we think, okay, I have this money and I'm living this life and let's put those two things together and try to make them work together. And money is just a tool. So we should be thinking of it as something that helps us. It is a very poor master and a wonderful servant. So if we can get it to act in that manner, that's great. But at the same time, we rarely stop for a moment. You know, we're already living our life. You're living in Southern California, living your life with your family. We rarely take a moment to stop for a second and think like, well, what do we actually want? You know, and so the financial life planning process is really designed to focus on with the clients, and especially with couples, is to focus on each individually to look at what truly matters most to you. And there's a few questions we can get into about how we get there and a few exercises. But what truly matters to each of you? What would it look like for you to live a truly fulfilling life? And then what would that look like to your spouse? And we want the two of you to understand that of one another. And I want to understand both perspectives so that when we're building your financial plan, we're incorporating as many aspects as we can into it. So the way I think of it is, it's like, remember the old like six disc CD players we had growing up?
Yes.
It's like, we often live life with those six discs already in there, and they're just spinning. And it's kind of all the stuff we've already dealt with in life, how we think about money, how we live a normal day, all of the habits that we already have. And we rarely stop and think, is this really what I want? And so with financial life planning, we take a few meetings to focus on what you truly want before we look at what we should do next.
I think it's interesting, especially once I do a little bit of the life planning and you're much more involved in the technical aspects of really getting to a client's heart's core, is how that is very different from the traditional financial planning approach, right? What I've found interesting when we kind of start with what is the client's goals and values versus getting right into the numbers is that we allow our clients to have time and space to really think about that. Because what I've noticed, and you've probably noticed this as well, sometimes the meetings that they have with us is really the only time that they're allowing themselves to really think about this. When in reality, it should be something that our clients should be thinking about on a regular basis, right? You know, a lot of our clients and us as well, we work really, really hard for what we do. And we kind of get into this kind of, as you put it, like the CD changing, I call it the hamster wheel, you're just kind of going, going, going. But we don't really stop to think, okay, what are we doing this for? What do we really want short-term and long-term? So it's been an interesting approach to come at it from that side first, and then use that as a way to build the plan and to get into the numbers.
Yeah. What's really happening in this process is, as an advisor, we're untraining ourselves for a moment because we are trained with all of this technical knowledge and we want to step in and solve the problem right away. But first, we need to deeply listen and truly get to understand what matters most to someone before we try to solve their problem. Because one of the worst things that we can do for someone is create a plan where they put the ladder on the wrong wall and start climbing.
Right.
That's a big disservice to them. And different people have different needs. I've helped take a client from working in corporate life, making a very, very high salary, to shifting to nonprofit government work. And they did that because what matters to them most is time with their family and the legacy they're going to leave in their profession. And that's very different from someone who wants to go create a tremendous amount of wealth, and that's what really drives them. So it really all comes back to what matters most to the client, right? I think the default in our industry is typically like help people die rich, when our job should be to help people live rich lives.
Right. No, that's such a great way to put it. And I think it helps give clients perspective because we, you know, naturally tend to compare ourselves to our peers, to maybe family members. What are other people doing? And when we can't take this type of approach to planning, we help our clients realize that it doesn't really matter what your neighbor or your friend or your brother or sister are doing. It's really, what are you going to do with your money to help you achieve kind of the great life that you want to live? And it's funny because we sometimes think it should be common sense, like, oh, well, this is what I want to do, so I'll use my money to do that. But it's really hard in practice to actually do that, right? So I mm-hmm. think it's so helpful with the approach that you take with your clients to really help them understand that. And because you're also their accountability partner, if they seem to deviate or come to a crossroads in their life where they don't know what decision to make next, because a lot of planning is helping to foster and facilitate decisions, it helps to come back to reminding clients, like, this is what you told me, it's really important, this is what you want to do. So which decision is going to get you to that point, right?
Absolutely. And so the way that I look at it is, what we're doing is with financial life planning, we're creating a lens that we're going to look through before we make any financial choice. And the reason that we do that is because if I just show up, if you come into my office and you give me the stock, I want to retire when I'm 65, which is kind of the norm, right? Because we don't really know what to think of, how to really put out what matters most to us. So those are the put out these kind of platitudes. If you do that, I'm just going to give you the stock answer. And that's not necessarily going to get you where you want to go. If on the other hand, you come in, we answer the three questions, we can walk through those shortly. And it comes out that you want to leave corporate life and become an adjunct professor and work for a nonprofit. Well then, and you're in your 30s, you know, the way that we're going to go save for you is going to be dramatically different than someone who wants to work in a corporate world until they're 65.
Right. So let's get into the questions, because you and I both use these questions and we've mentioned it a few times. So it'd be helpful to go through those. And what might be an interesting exercise, which we haven't talked about this, Scott, is the three questions. I actually did this exercise a few weeks ago because I'm kind of going through a point in my life where I really want to figure out what's important to me and what impact I want to make. So I'm interested to see, maybe we do questions and I kind of can go through my responses and you can tell me what you would do in terms of how you would dive deeper into these responses that I have.
We can give that a go. I will tell you that, so the interesting thing about this is this style might sound almost a touch woo-woo to some of your listeners, but it's actually evidence-based. So the way that our brain works is we have two systems, like Daniel Kahneman wrote about that in Think Fast and Think Slow. And when you write something down or you think it, that's happening in your frontal cortex and the evolved brain. And when I speak your own words back to you, you will feel them through your more primitive brain. What we're getting at, what you see through this process, the whole point of it is, you know, if you come in, you and Uday came in to meet with me. The first meeting, I'm just going to play this game where I'm going to pretend that each of you has 10 marbles in your pocket. And my job is to create a space where you can just bring them out and talk. And the reason we do that is because rarely do you ever get the chance to say what truly matters to you in life. You know, normally you and I will have a conversation and we'll start talking about, you know, what's happening with one of our kids and how preschool is going. And then I'll have a story about preschool. And we never get down to the deep stuff. And so the first point is just get down to the deep stuff. And then with the three questions, let you prioritize that. And then once you've prioritized that, you get to hear your own words back to you. And what will happen is you'll have this barometer that will go off in your body where you'll be excited sometimes and you'll be sad sometimes. And we can see that together and get a sense of what really matters to you. And you'll speak more to things and elaborate more. So that's the power of it when it's done properly.
So let's walk through what these questions are, because I think our listeners would be curious in case they are interested in doing the exercise themselves at home.
Yeah. And if you do it at home, the key is do it yourself and answer it authentically yourself and don't project your stuff onto other people, right? Like your vision of a great life is different right. than Uday's vision of a great life. Nothing wrong with that. It actually would be quite boring if you both had the same exact answers. And there's other exercises that we do as well. And all of this is from the Kinder Institute of Life Planning. So George Kinder pioneered this 20, 30 years ago. But the first question that you think of is Anjali, you wake up in the morning and you have more than enough money in your bank accounts to satisfy all of your needs for the rest of your life. So you don't have to worry anymore about money. If that happened, how would you live your life? Would you change anything and let yourself go? Describe a life that is fully and richly yours and don't hold anything back.
I use these questions as well. And I really like the first question because once we allow clients the ability to think about their life without any financial constraints, I think that's when people really open their minds to what they actually truly want, because they're not constantly thinking in the back of their mind, but, oh, this is going to cost this much and I can't do this. So I must limit my response. So I think I really like how that question is structured and framed.
Couldn't agree more. And people do still limit themselves. you're not supposed to, but we still do. That is exactly what it's designed for, right? Like if you didn't have to worry about money, what would you do? It can't get more freeing than that. And it's always interesting to see what comes up in these questions. You know, that's the first question is often where things like the new dream house come up and maybe more material things come up. career changes can come up, or stopping working if someone doesn't enjoy the work that they do will come up. So lots of different things come up here, but it's always fascinating to see what comes up. And the big key for us as advisors is it's our job to always have a beginner's mindset and to never be judging what's in those answers.
Right. That's so important. And not try to chime in with our experiences or our thoughts, because then I think it clouds our client's ability to kind of think freely, because this is the time for them to really reflect and communicate to us what they want. And it's our job to listen, essentially.
Oh, yeah. This is their time, not ours.
Right.
They're coming to us. Our job here in these first few meetings is to deeply listen, be there with them, and be a support for them in their dreams, and also have empathy for them when they need it as well. Most of us can step into who we truly want to be, but few of us rarely take the time to do it. And that's why I love this work. It gives us a chance to help people be the best version of themselves.
Agree.
So the second question, we get pretty serious pretty quickly. And for your physician clients, they are not allowed to get a second opinion. They go to their physician, and their physician lets them know, sadly, that they have a terminal illness and that they have 5 to 10 years to live, and they're never going to feel sick for a moment that remains, but they'll also have no notice of the final day. So they have a time constraint. And they don't have unlimited funds in this question. They have the time, money, energy, and talent that they would have sitting down with me in the office. And if that's what was given to them, you know, what will they do with the time they have remaining? Will they change their life? And how will they do it?
So with the work that you do, what is it about this question and the time constraint that gets people to think differently?
Yep. What I typically see is it gets people to focus on what matters most to them, which typically end up not being material things.
Right.
Things that come up here are connections with people that have fell out of touch with, depth of connection with family members, like core family members often, career changes that haven't happened yet, legacy that hasn't been left yet, connections with spirituality can come up here often. A sense of place can still come up here often. Security will come up as well for families if they're worried about that as well. Those are the things I typically see.
Yes, I see, especially for the spouse that tends to manage the finances in the household, I've seen in this question a lot of concern and a need to make sure that the finances are in order because they won't be around long term. And then I also see a lot of thoughts around children and not being able to see them grow up, or kind of regret in terms of career or kind of their professional status and not achieving what they hoped they would have achieved in their professional life.
Exactly. But then it's like, how amazing is that, that they realize that? Because now they can do something about it rather than regret it.
That's true.
Right?
Very true. Very true. Right.
Like the one on the kids, I was actually chatting with someone yesterday about that. Physicians, in fact. That was one of their things, was they would really miss that time growing up with their son. We thought about things that they could potentially be doing. Normally, we do this in the next meeting, but they wanted to know things they could potentially be doing to overcome that. And I gave them the idea of a friend of ours does this, has an email address for their daughter, sends video clips and email messages and things like that to their daughter's email account that they'll one day give her. So, you know, if they ever want, it kind of immortalizes a lot of the thoughts that they want to pass along to her. I thought, what an amazing way to do that.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, actually, she just had her baby about a week ago, and she gave me a gift. The book is called Letters to My Daughter, and it actually literally has like envelopes and paper for letters that I can write to like future Nyla. So I can write whatever I'm thinking, whatever advice I want to give, and put that in there. And it's so funny that she gave me that, because when I was doing these questions, one of the questions for this one specifically, I had put that I would miss seeing her grow up, and I would want to spend the time to write a letter to her for like every year of her birthday and kind of every major life milestone she had. And it's so fitting that I got that gift around the time that I was doing this exercise. And, you know, it was so nice and thoughtful, because it's also another thing where we don't spend the time to think about it, right? But
right.
If time was a constraint, then that would be something that I would definitely prioritize over everything else that I'm doing right now.
To me, the point of it is like, none of us know what tomorrow holds. We all hope that we live to be 95, but we could easily live 5 to 10 years. So why not live life to the fullest today? so that in the end we look back on it and go, yeah, that was amazing, rather than muddle through.
Right. Okay. So let's get into the third question.
Yeah. So the third question, we're just brutal, right? Because
it is. This one is rough for people.
Yeah. Because we go back to our physician, and again, you don't get the second opinion, but they tell you that sadly they realize that you have an illness that is full term, time's up, and you have 24 hours to live. And it's not about what are you going to do in your last 24 hours. It's not about that. It's about when it hits you that life's over and you feel that, ask yourself, what did I miss? You know, what did you miss? Who did you not get to be? And what did you not get to do?
Yeah, that question is really powerful.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of overlap with question two and question three, right? Because I think question two really helps people to think about what's important and priorities. And then question mm-hmm. three kind of hones in even more so on that, right? So the questions are definitely structured in a certain way, in a certain order, to really kind of help people dig deeper in terms of prioritizing, like, what is really important? What is your values? What's kind of this legacy? What are those goals that you have for yourself, your family? And, you know, are you actually living that life now? Or do you need help in terms of helping to prioritize and really getting to where you want to be so you don't look back and have those regrets?
That's exactly it, right? The three questions do kind of, they do act as a funnel. And you'll rarely see, you know, materialistic things or balances of bank accounts or something like that in the third question.
Right.
Right. Because in the end, the things that you see there are connection with people, relationships, right? Spirituality often is there. Legacy is there. A sense of place is still there. Mm-hmm. Creativity is often there. So it's really what matters most to you at your core, in your heart. If you're doing these things, you're living an amazing life. Because then once we know that, we can look at, well, how far away are we from doing that now? What steps do you need to take to get there? Let's do that as quickly as possible.
Right.
We'll still do it. We're going to still do all this financial planning stuff. But now when we go do it, I'm going to know how important Nyla is to you and Uday. So when you need that life insurance, I'm going to have that conversation with you, but I'm not going to speak to your head. I'm going to speak to your heart. So you're actually going to go do it because it's going to matter to you.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Since I do work with a lot of physicians, I've had a lot of physicians tell me that they actually, in retrospect, would not have gone to med school, right? They would have picked a different career and a different profession, which is a little heartbreaking because of the amount of time, money, effort, energy it takes to do that. But what I've also noticed, which is, you know, very enlightening, is that a lot of times after we go through these questions, and then I kind of, because I do these questions in meeting number two. So we get really personal really quickly. And I think you do mm-hmm. it very early in the process. And mm-hmm. by meeting four is when I kind of bring everything together and kind of outline, okay, here's what we're going to work on. Here's what we're going to prioritize based on what you've told me. And a lot of times what the client's values are and what's truly important to them and what they need to do to get there is not as much work as they thought it was going to be. And I think it's because we take out of their mind this notion of, like, you know, just make a lot of money, just build up that portfolio, right? So once that's gone and we help them see clarity in terms of what they want to do, that disconnect becomes very small. And then them being able to reach their goals is actually very manageable. And maybe that also helps clients in terms of getting their stuff together and actually doing the things they need to do, because they're like, oh, like, this isn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, or I'm not in as bad shape as I thought I was going to be, right? Because we're kind of always the biggest critics of ourselves.
Oh, 100%. What's happening here is we're all wired to run. Most of the time we're running in our subconscious. You know, we're not really running, thinking about what we're doing. And all of the things that we do in life are really a culmination of all the experiences we've already had. And we know what's possible and what's not possible. So if you grew up with a scarcity mindset, you think you're never going to have enough money and you have to hoard a bunch. If you grew up with an abundance mindset, you think you're always going to have enough and you don't worry about it. That's just one little example. There's so many other factors. But what it really comes down to is helping people look at, here's where you really want to go. Let's give you energy and inspiration about getting there. Let's paint a vision for you to get there. So at the end of the three questions, what we're doing is we literally paint a picture for them, like a scene from a movie, of them being in a moment, typically within, you know, 1.5 to 3 years. And they're doing whatever, the things that matter most to them are there and happening. So they can feel it. They can be there. And then when they have the energy and inspiration, the next meeting is all about the obstacles that stand in the way of them getting there. We're not just creating something. It's like, okay, just you can do it now. We have to go actually look at, you know, like you're just saying, what are the obstacles that stand in your way of you actually getting here? Sometimes if, because there can be energy and anxiety around, you know, excitement and anxiety around a big change. If someone's never written a book before and they really want to go write a book, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, right? But they can do it. They just need to have the drive to go do it and the process in place to go do it. So you have to go speak to that. So we often end up speaking about things that aren't always just financially related in this process.
Right. I think that's another maybe misconception about the industry, because a lot of the work that you and I do is focused around the emotional component around money, right? And my listeners know this about me. Like, you know, I grew up with immigrant parents. My parents immigrated here in the 70s. Everyone has their story. My dad came with like $7 in his pocket. It's always some sort of denomination of a dollar that's usually less than $10, right? So I have an immigrant mentality, right? So we were raised, you know, very middle class. We did not overspend. The goal was to get a good job and save as much money as possible, right? And so I grew up, you know, worrying about money because I always viewed it as like it's a function of needing to work really, really hard and saving every dollar possible, which made it very difficult for me because I was always scared to spend money. And it's so, and I work with a lot of clients like this just because I have a lot of clients who are children of immigrants or immigrants themselves. It's, there's this inability to be able to spend money that becomes to a point where it's stifling, maybe not for them, but for their spouse. And that was a dynamic that Uday and I were in, was my husband came from the exact same background, but he has a very different mindset from mine. Like he's much more abundant. He doesn't worry about money. He feels that money will always be there. So why worry? And if mm-hmm. we should spend money to enjoy. So we've had to do a lot of work, and it's why we have a financial advisor to help us bridge that gap. So I think a lot of the work in this type of exercise is for you as an individual, but it's also for you and your spouse if you are married or in a long-term relationship to really help bridge the gap, because we don't end up marrying someone who's the exact same person as us, right? You usually marry someone who has who's kind of your opposite. And so with that is going to come different views on money. And I love that this exercise helps bridge the gap, because when I've done it with clients, even though they have very different ideas or very different backgrounds and very different views on money, there tends to be a lot of overlap in terms of, especially once we get to question 2 and 3. And we can, taking that kind of commonality and what they see eye to eye on is so helpful to kind of build that better relationship with them, so that when we do have more difficult money decisions that they need to make on a future basis, I feel like they're already in a better position because they now understand each other on a more deeper level that they just didn't have before.
Agreed with that. The other thing about it is there's nothing better in life than having a fulfilled spouse.
Right.
And if your spouse isn't fulfilled and you are, chances are that's not going to work out well.
Right.
And oftentimes people come into these meetings thinking like, well, I'm, you know, Anjali's the money person and I'm not. So I don't even know why I'm here. But the money that you guys use is in support of both of you. So everyone needs to be on the same page as to what the main priorities of the family are. And if one, and sometimes you'll see this as well. Sometimes I'll see like one person will make the money. And so then sometimes it'll be it'll almost feel like we're in the 1950s for a moment, but we shouldn't be.
Right.
Right. Because if you're a stay-at-home spouse, that you're doing one of the toughest jobs there is, you shouldn't be out of the money picture. So helping everyone come to terms with what they ultimately want together and getting there really matters. And in the third question, oftentimes things like experiences will come up, right? So travel, things like that. And oftentimes people will delay that until retirement. But with where we're headed with longevity increasing and with more than likely the need to work past the age of 60 or 65, you know, you're not going to be able to, it's going to be hard to retire for 50 years.
Right.
So learning how to build out life so that we're saving for our future, but we're also enjoying the riches of our careers along the way makes a tremendous amount of sense. But then it's just looking at how you prioritize money just shifts a little. You can take nice vacations and retire a couple years later. That's completely reasonable. It's really all about what you want in the end.
Right. So have you had the experience where you've had resistance or hesitation from someone in like completing the exercise? Because I know some of our listeners will say, oh, I don't need to go through that exercise. Like, it's too emotional. It's too woo-woo. So what do you say when someone approaches you with kind of that response? And then are you able to get them to a space where they actually put in the time and the effort to answer the questions thoughtfully?
So the process I take all clients through is taught through the Kinder Institute of Life Planning, and it's called EVOKE. Stands for exploration, vision, obstacle, knowledge, and execution. So very similar to what you were explaining, the first meeting, the exploration meeting, is really that conversation of you and Udai taking out your 10 marbles and putting them on the table and just truly being heard. And in that meeting, I will explain briefly how we work together, how clients pay me, those types of things. And I introduce them to the three questions. And I let them know that I do this with all clients. And if they're going to work with me, they will do this. So then people will self-select out.
Okay. Right?
They will. But the reason that I do it is because going through this process is a virtuous circle. When you watch people step into who they're meant to be, because they take the time to really think about what matters most to them, like, I don't want to do it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who will extend people grace and go through the process later if they're open to it or not. I'll probably end up working with about 100 clients. So I'm just choose to be selective.
Oh, which is great, because then you're aligning yourself with the people who want to do the work, which is the work that you're really passionate about.
Yeah. Well, and in the end, I'm really passionate about all the planning work, which we aren't geeking out on, Roth conversions and things like that today. But all of that is in support of the life that the person ultimately wants.
That's true.
Right. But we have to find that chief aim first, that lens to look through before we look at what else we should be doing. Otherwise, I could be doing them a huge disservice.
Right. So, stories always work well, and listeners always like to hear examples. So what are kind of some examples, high level, that of kind of helping clients where you feel like you've made a really big impact in terms of helping them achieve this, and then they really do take a shift in terms of how they currently live their lives to one where they're achieving kind of what came out of the questions and all the work that they do with you?
Yeah. So one of my earlier ones, which was really fun and got me thinking about it, because one of the things is, we as advisors, at least for me, I thought I knew how to solve problems. I thought it was pretty cookie cutter, right? Come in, save money, retire when you're older, you're good. And when I started doing the three questions with clients, I saw that their needs and desires were often vastly different than that stock planning answer. So one example would be, there's a couple that I work with here who are both physicians. They may not have as much longevity in their lives as normal people, just as the population at large. And they realize that they really want to be spending time, more time with their kids while they're growing up, specifically in a beach town. So we, understanding that, we put their plan together and we actually had them take a really sizable amount of money out of a taxable trust account, sold their home that was further away from the beach, and they bought a home in a beach town. And they're still saving for retirement and they'll still be completely fine when they want to retire, but they're also working less. So they have more time with their kids now while they're growing up. That was the first time I'd created a solution that was vastly different from what I'd been taught, what the curriculum would tell me to do. Everything is still in support of that, but the desire for them to spend more time with their family while they're growing up and have those experiences with them in a beach town, we actually brought that to life, and it was absolutely wonderful.
That's great. Yeah. And it's so interesting that you mentioned that it's different than what the curriculum teaches us, because it's so true. The curriculum will teach us, like, get their life insurance in place and then make sure that they're saving as much as possible. And it's really focused on retirement projections. But we're almost kind of working backwards, really, because we're really working at, like, what's important now. Okay, based on that, then let's plan out what you're going to do going forward. So it's just interesting how powerful a simple exercise can be of having clients kind of just sit down and give them time and space to think about what it is they want.
So another exercise we're not really going to discuss deeply today, but another thing that we do from the three questions, we do another thing called the Heart's Core Grid that basically helps them suss out anything that's not in the three questions. But another exercise that we'll do is look at what an ideal day, week, and year would look like to them from a time perspective. How would you ideally spend your time? And then once you do that, how far away from you are that are you today? You know, like, are you 70% of the way there? 50? 20? Like, how dramatically would you have to change your life to get you where you want to go? Because once we understand that, once we know what the aim is, we can go look for ways to change it, right? But until we really put it down, we don't know. It's the same thing with financial planning, right? Financial planning is making a best guess based on reasonable assumptions with the understanding that our best guess is probably going to be wrong. That's far right. better than just going about life with no guess at all and just going based on the stock assumptions that are already there and not thinking about what you want to be doing. And that's really what financial life planning is all about. It's taking a moment to focus on what truly matters to you most today and how do we help you get that as quickly as possible. And then 2 years from now,
right.
you know, we'll go through the exercises again and we'll see what's shifted or changed or look at all the things that you've already done. To me, it's all about optimization of your personal life. How do you get to live the best life that you can to the fullest for as long as possible?
Yeah. And what I'll say about that is, I mean, you do much more deeper work on this and I do a little bit of work on this as well, but we're taking that and we're still crunching the numbers and putting it into a plan that seems reasonable in terms of being able to be achievable. So there's kind of two pieces of it. There's really having an advisor who will give you the time and space to think about this and help you work through this. And then there's also the function of making sure that technical knowledge is there so that they can take everything you said, look at your current situation, and really figure out a way to help you achieve those goals, right? Because I always describe financial planning is it's an art, it's not a science. So
absolutely,
there's just no one route that you can take to get to where you need to be, right? It's a puzzle. Like there's a lot of different pieces and we can kind of shift them around in different ways. And having insight into what's important for our clients helps us put that puzzle together in a way that's aligned with those goals and values. Because if there's 10 ways to do things, how do we know as advisors which would be the best for our clients if we're just kind of arbitrarily picking one or picking it based on our goals, which is, oh, let's get them like the best returns or the largest portfolio, right? If that's not aligned with what our clients want to do, they're not going to do it. And it's probably not going to be a good relationship. So it's just interesting to see how you and I have evolved as advisors in terms of being able to really piece that together, because it's actually really hard work. Someone coming in and just kind of building your portfolio, that's actually pretty easy. The investment side is usually pretty easy. Yeah. It's really taking this kind of very emotional, very vulnerable type of situation for a lot of our clients and really kind of helping them see something that they thought was never going to be achievable for them, right? And that takes a lot of work and a lot of skill and a lot of time, honestly, which is why, you know, you and I are invested in long-term relationships, because it does take that time to really get to know that person and to really impact change at that level for them.
It's what we started with, right? Like, you are an exquisite jazz musician already, right? You have the technical chops. So now you don't need to read sheet music. You can go in, read the room, which is reading your client, and play the music that's best for them, right?
Right.
I mean, that's really what you're getting at. And I fully agree with that. In my opinion, the reason why financial life planning, the things tied together, are so impactful is because you can actually get the life planning portion of it and have the money built tied in to support you quickly. Versus if you go to someone who just focuses on life planning, it might be more difficult for you to figure out how to take those next steps, because money almost always ties back into it. If you want more time, we have to have money to replace the income that you had now, or you have to figure out how to live a lighter life, right? Where we're not spending as much. So, right. So there's lots of things to work through there. Totally possible, but still have to figure out how to work through them. That's where the value of a financial planner can be really immense.
Right. Because it's a lot of times, especially like the situation that you described with your physician clients, is that can be a major change in terms of lifestyle, thinking, et cetera. So there's a piece of it where it's not necessarily going to be easy, because anytime you're doing work on yourself, which this is what this work is, it is going to be difficult. It can be emotionally tolling. So you really need the right person in place to help you get through that, which is why, you know, making sure that the advisor is also, you know, technically competent and understands how to bridge that gap is really important, because they're going to help you really get to where you need to be. And I want to emphasize that because, you know, you and I know there's a lot of preconceived notions about our industry, and there's still a lot of bad seeds and a lot of bad players out there. But this is kind of the new, this is what our financial planning is moving towards, right? Is really helping clients live their best lives, and money is a tool to do so. So, you know, it's kind of realizing that an advisor is more than just your investment manager. It can be that person that really helps bring that together. And if that's important for you, then finding the right person to align yourself with is key, because it's hard to do all of this by yourself. And this is, you know, coming from my experience, like my husband and I have an advisor because it's too hard for me to do it for ourselves, because we're emotionally tied. We have different views. So we need kind of that unbiased third party to come in to help create a like level playing field, I'll say, for us, and give us each time and space to kind of express our views, our frustrations, and then help kind of alleviate those tensions and concerns so that we're continuing to make progress on what we've identified as important to us.
Excellent points. And I would add to that, that a really gifted financial advisor, and especially one who does financial life planning, the way that I view my job, if you and Uday were my client, you're the hero in your own journey. And we need to figure out what path you're planning to be on. And then my job is to serve as your guide in that journey. And some of the things that you're going to do, you have to do on your own. But sometimes I can educate you, provide you with tools, help support you, help encourage you to go take those next steps. And that's really our job at its highest level, right? Is really helping people step into who they're truly meant to be and to go do the things that they truly want to do. You know, we're going to start a wall at our office that just says living our best lives. And the reason we have it is because people start sending us pictures of them living their own visions of a great life. And we didn't ask for them. They just started to come. But at the end of the day, that's what all of this is for. All of this service that we do for our clients is not for the rate of return that they get at the end of the day. We still care about that. That has to happen. But it's really about using money, time, energy, and talent for them to go live their best life. And if we're helping them step into doing that, then we're doing something right.
Right. No, so well said. And a great way to end our episode. So before we wrap up, any last thoughts on life planning or anything else that you'd love to tell the listeners?
Do it. but I'll give you one caveat. Do not try to life plan your spouse and have your spouse life plan you.
Yeah, that would be a very bad dynamic.
It is. And what happens anytime you want to make a change in your life, accountability partners are so helpful. Always try to get one, but rarely have it be your spouse would be my advice. And the reason why is, Anjali, if you want to start working out more, for instance, and you want Uday to check in on you and whether or not you've done that, if you're supposed to work out on Saturday mornings and he comes to you on Saturday afternoon and asks you how your workout went, you might get really upset with him about that. And you're probably not upset with him. You're upset with yourself, but you're going to take it out on him because you can.
Right.
So it's far better to have someone else be that accountability partner. That's the thing I'd end with.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Great advice. So tell our listeners how they can learn more about you.
Yep. So our website is stonestepsfinancial.com. And I'm on Twitter at Scott_R_Frank. And those are the two best places to find me.
Perfect. And then we'll also put in the resources that you had mentioned with Kinder's life planning in the follow-up blog that'll go to this episode if people are interested to learn more or, you know, do the exercise for themselves.
Because I believe they Kinder can always find a life planner through that site.
Right, so
they're looking for a registered life planner, which registered life planners are normally, ideally, CFPs. So they have the chops for financial planning, and then they've been through the life planning work as well.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Scott. This was great.
Yeah, great talking to you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on iTunes. If you have a burning question you'd like my expertise on, please visit www.fitadvisors.com and submit your question on my podcast page.